Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for tonight is the Acts reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. When you look at the Old Testament and the various festivals that take place in the spring of the year, and you dig into their fulfillment in Jesus, this time of the year should really come to life. Just look at how everything has been connected. On the day when the Israelites were looking for the Passover lamb, what occurred in the life of Jesus? Well, that Holy Week, he rides into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday we call it, and there the Lamb of God comes and brings himself for all. On the day when the Old Testament Israelites were concerned about slaughtering and eating the Passover lamb, Jesus, the very Lamb of God, hangs in our place on the cross. Indeed, the Passover lamb there for us, as Paul makes the connection, as his blood marks the wood of the cross so that the angel of death may have no hold on those who believe in him. The church, of course, calls this day Good Friday. On the day when the Israelites brought the first sheaves of the grain harvest, the Sunday after Passover, the first day of the week, Jesus rose from the dead. St. Paul makes the connection in Corinthians when he says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep." And the church celebrates, as you know so well, Easter. Now we are 50 days past. 50 days from Passover and 51 on Sunday from when the first fruits were brought in. This is Pentecost, 50 days after Passover in the Old Testament, 50 days after Easter for the New Testament Christian. You see, and on Pentecost we see the first ingathering, not of grain and harvest, but of souls into the church. Of course, other names for Pentecost were the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, the Day of the First Fruits. The day of Pentecost has its roots all the way back, well, to Mount Sinai and the giving of the law to Moses as God appeared in a, well, as fire on the top of the mountain. And on this day, the day of Pentecost, well, the Holy Spirit comes as tongues of flame resting above the apostles' heads. As in the wilderness of the Exodus, so it is on Pentecost. The fire of God declares the purity that is being declared. And here on Pentecost, God turns back the curse of the Tower of Babel for just a moment so that all may have opportunity to hear the good news of their salvation. And so we gather today to continue that Pentecost proclamation, the good news of your salvation to be proclaimed. On the first New Testament Pentecost, God conveys his gift of the Holy Spirit in a fuller measure to the apostles. And suddenly there came from heaven the sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is not with a still small voice, but with the mighty wind that God announced his unique presence on this day. And the tongues of fire, as I'd already said, declare, well, the purity of their own proclamation, the gospel message that they are saying. And God makes sure that his word is clearly communicated as everyone is able to hear in their own language. Why, I'm sure if somebody from Wisconsin was there, they were hearing Ain'ts. And somebody from the hills, from where I'm from, they hear y'alls. But the message was still proclaimed to where they heard the word correctly. And please note, this is not the first time the Spirit had been given to the apostles. Nor is this a different spirit than you and I received in our baptism. These men received an extra measure of the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they are filled with the, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, well, you do what people filled with the Holy Spirit do. You proclaim God's word. Praise be to God that in His infinite wisdom, He allowed all to hear the life-giving word of God, well, clearly, as He continues to do today. Just as Jesus promised in Luke 24. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations. This same Holy Spirit makes possible for you and me to confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and to have peace in the fact of the forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus alone. Creating faith in and through God's Word and the Word joined to the water of holy baptism, joining us with Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and our salvation, daily then Christians in their baptism live. Because daily all need forgiveness of their sins. Or were you silent tonight during the confession? Have you managed the impossible? Have you loved the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and loved your neighbor as yourself? We know better. We know this is impossible being at the same time sinner and saint. It leaves no room, you see, for self-righteousness. It's kind of an interesting quote I came upon from Martin Luther. I want to share that with you. It kind of sets our understanding of Christianity back on its ear a little bit. A godly man, Luther says, that is a saint, feels sin more than grace, wrath more than favor, and judgment more than redemption. On the other hand, an ungodly man, that is a sinner, feels almost no wrath, but is smug as though there were no wrath anywhere, as though there were no God anywhere who vindicates His righteousness. This is why in our confession we often use these words from John in 1 John 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is needed to bring, well, to death the smug heart of the ungodly, the saint, the sinner that is in us, and produce the new heart of the saint. Luther says something else here that's kind of profound. He says, a Christian is not someone who has no sin or feels no sin. He is someone to whom, because of his faith in Christ, God does not impute his sin. I hope you understood that. You see, there are so many today that think that being a Christian means that you can live without sin this side of heaven, and we know better. By the grace of God and the gift of faith, we repented of our sins tonight, confessed them before His altar, and heard the words of absolution as Christ declared you through the pastor, not because of me, but because of Him, your sins are forgiven. Today the Lord's Supper is offered for the confessing sinner slash saint for the nourishing of their faith as God's Word joined to bread and wine bring us Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, for life, and for salvation. Much like the disciples, we, the royal priesthood of believers, are filled with the Holy Spirit and called to do what people filled with the Holy Spirit do, proclaim God's Word. Be it one-on-one with friends or family members, supporting the calling of a pastor, supporting him in his public work at home or abroad. We are to be one body, not many dismembered parts. So all may rejoice when the word is proclaimed because it never, ever, ever returns void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. God's work will be done, St. Peter proclaimed. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. This prophecy of Joel reminds us that both the first coming and the second coming of our Lord must be viewed together as a unit. As John the Baptist spoke on Pentecost, and in the next breath spoke of Pentecost, and in the next breath spoke of Judgment Day. In Luke 3, he says, "Indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I am coming, whose sandals I am not worthy to loose, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So this day of final judgment needs never to be feared, though. For the gift and blessings of the Holy Spirit are given for you. This gift makes verse 21 of our gospel, of our text, gospel to our ears. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here in God's service, He tells you you are saved, not by your works, but by the grace of God. Therefore, God still sends men to proclaim His holy and inspired word. As St. Paul says so clearly in Romans, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on Him they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We know that calling on the name of the Lord is only possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. And He chooses to work through His means of grace when and where He pleases. No one can ever say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And this gift of faith is just that. It's a gift given by God for you and me to be saved, as St. Paul says so clearly in the letter to the church at Ephesus, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone could boast." So today we celebrate the Holy Spirit that is sent to convey God's gifts of forgiveness and life eternal through faith in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes to communicate God's word of grace and peace through God's people to the ends of the earth each day. And let us celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit who comes to comfort God's people with the good news of Christ's conquest over sin, death, and devil. "For it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that means you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.